Good morning. I hope you're having a fine Sunday morning. Welcome back to another edition of Miami Valley Voices on this Cox radio station. Hope you're having a great day. We're in the studio today with a longtime a friend and associate who runs a kind of a hard to describe but really interesting and heavily engaged, involved organization in Dayton that touches a lot of different things. We're here with Peter Benkendorf. How are you doing, Peter?
Hey, I'm doing great, Ron. Good morning, and thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. You are the founder and chief brain behind an organization in town called the Collaboratory, and I want to set a stage for people. If you visit the Collaboratory, it's off Courthouse Square in downtown Dayton. It's you'll walk in and you'll see the first thing that strikes you is these white walls, whiteboard walls all around that are covered with words, phrases, quotes, ideas, circled things, lines connecting words to other words and ideas and stuff like that. It's the kind of place where a lot of thinking goes on. Tell us about the Collaboratory.
So the Collaboratory is located on Courthouse Square, and we call ourselves a civic innovation lab. And you've described it correctly. We've got about 40 feet of whiteboard, and we do a lot of thinking, and hopefully we do a lot of doing as well. And so
you got to think before you can do.
That's right.
You don't
sometimes
have to.
Sometimes the most innovative things happen when you don't think before you do. You know, I think there's a famous quote: "To think before you speak is." It's caution's is caution's motto, and to speak before you think is that's where the creativity starts to come in.
Right. So but you guys are a kind of a creativity incubator,
we like to think of ourselves working in kind of three areas: imagination, connectivity, and action. And we're really about how do we unleash the potential of the human, organizational, and physical assets in the region in order to create new economic, social, and creative capital. Ultimately, we exist because we want to help build a more thriving region. Mm-hmm. Although we're located on Courthouse Square and we're very committed to downtown because we do believe that you cannot have a strong region without a strong core.
Right.
Our work is really much more at the conceptual level. And so, sometimes we're very hard to describe because we work broadly as opposed to in a swim lane. So we've worked with the YWCA, we've worked with arts organizations, we've worked with AFRL. So we typically are not thought of in any one of those specific silos because mm-hmm. we're not about any of those specific silos. Mm-hmm. What we're really about is connecting dots that most people don't see mm-hmm. in ways that most people haven't imagined, and to really create frameworks of possibilities for others. Somebody once described what we do as helping people find their yellow brick road. So a lot of people just come to see us. They're not sure. They've got some ideas. How do they get started? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we can help them with the use of the whiteboard, think through what it is they're interested in doing, and then mm-hmm. connect them to other folks that are in the community also interested in those same sorts of things. How do we avoid duplication, but mm-hmm. how do we leverage a lot of the assets and the energies that we have to build a better region?
That's kind of cool. Now, it's a nonprofit organization.
It's a nonprofit organization. The legal entity is actually called Involvement Advocacy, and that's an organization I actually founded in 1992 in Chicago and have been doing innovative community work since that time. And the name Involvement Advocacy, which is probably not what a branding guru would suggest that you call your organization, comes from a Chinese proverb: tell me and I'll forget, show me, I'll remember, involve me, I'll understand.
Huh, I like
and so it's really about getting people connected to things that they're passionate about mm-hmm. and helping people live out their passion in a more purposeful way. So
yeah.
Whether you're thinking about starting a business, whether you want to do something positive in the community, whether you're looking to get more involved in arts or other activities that we have in abundance here, we try and help people find what it is that gets them excited and mm-hmm. figure out how do they They realize that. And at the same time, we do a lot of work with existing organizations who are looking for fresh thinking and ways that they can be more innovative in delivering what they're doing, because we have lots of connections, not just in the Dayton region, but really all around the country. So, for example, we're in conversation with the Montgomery County Office of Ex-Offender Reentry about how do we create better opportunities and experiences for returning citizens when they come back to the community. How can we bring some innovative thinking to that sort of experience? How do we help those folks get...
Which is actually kind of a big deal in Montgomery County.
Absolutely.
Montgomery County has... The court system has really... That's probably a whole separate show sometime. They've dedicated a lot of effort and bureaucratic energy and money to trying to figure out how to bring ex-felons back into the community so that they don't end up being felons again.
Right. Yeah. So we're working very closely with Jamie G, who runs that office, and Judge Rice and some other folks to see what can we do in addition to all the good work that they're doing, particularly on the community piece, and how can we help some of these returning citizens get more engaged in the community beyond the good work that the county's doing in terms of housing and jobs and all of those things. They're, that greater sense of purpose,
right.
sense of connectedness, sense of optimism
right.
that gets, as you start to move up Maslow's hierarchy of needs, how can we help them realize some of those other possibilities?
Right.
When often, in the past, people haven't really respected other aspects of their lives or have discounted what some of these folks can really bring to the community. And
sure,
so if
sure.
we could ignite some of that in them, we can improve the chances of their success in reentering in the community.
So is in a case like that, is that something like that's like a contract you got with the county, or is it just something that you're kind of like working on the side advisorily?
Well, right now, I mean, we're in the process of trying to pull some things together, and there's some resources in the UK that I've worked with in the past that have been working with offenders and ex-offenders since the early 90s. And so one of the things we're talking to them about is piloting on a small scale some different approaches that would enhance the work that they're doing. With some people we work on a contract or fee-for-service basis. Other times it just depends on the circumstances. We have a lot of people come to us who don't have resources to pay us, and so we're not here to turn people away. I guess sort of like a church. I guess we're a bit of an urban ministry.
Right. Paid is great if it can happen, right?
Right. So it's really a mix of we've got some funders, but we have some contracts, and we're very much opportunity driven, and so a lot of times we're initiating the conversation as opposed to somebody coming up to us and asking for our help.
That's what I was going to ask. So most of the, and we'll talk in a minute about some of the other projects you're in, but is it usually things that end up rising to the level of what you would consider to be a project you're working on? Is it usually ideas that generate from within your own organization, or is it stuff that people bring to you as a need?
Well, I'd say it's a mix. Perhaps a little bit more generated on our end, but it's usually generated in the context of other relationships. So, for example, this past summer we did a very large collaboration with the Air Force Research Lab, the Wright Brothers Institute, and the folks at Art Street at the University of Dayton.
Right.
Brian LaDuca and his folks over there doing some really amazing and innovative work.
Interesting place. Yeah.
And so this was sort of an outgrowth of the TechArts collaboration that was that I put together with Joe Shabika back in 2010 and 2011 to explore what happens when you bring, in this case, students from a variety of different disciplines, academic disciplines, together for the summer to look at new approaches to solving challenges. In this case of this past summer, a technology challenge and also a community challenge. And so to have the perspective of engineers and business students and science students and art students all spending 10 weeks together working on these problems resulted in really some fresh approaches and some different ways of looking at how the Air Force may go about addressing some of the challenges that they have in the future. And so, I mean, that was just one of those things where a bunch of us found ourselves in the same place at the same time in September of 2014, and that was sort of the basis of initial discussion, and then it turned into a larger project. We tend to go and, again, on our own, go out and talk to folks about where we see there may be gaps or opportunities in the community, and hopefully be the spark, the catalyst for them to do more of what they're doing, do better of what they're doing, do what they're doing in conjunction with another organization that will result in an outcome that that wouldn't have happened if those organizations didn't collaborate.
So, and we're here again with Peter Benkendorf from the Collaboratory in Dayton. So a lot of what you're doing, a lot of what you're talking about is just kind of connecting people. Yeah. I mean, does that talk about that? A lot of people are very generous with their networks, and a lot of people kind of like regard them as like, this is my network. I'm keeping it to myself, you know. But you share your book. Your book is pretty deep and wide, and you share it with anybody, near as I can tell. I mean, that's kind of your coin, if you would. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, as I said, I do three things. People have accused me of being all over the place because if they've been trained to think in the silos, or you're the arts guy, or the hunger guy, or the environmental guy, you know, we're really all about the imagination, the connectivity, and the action, and that ability to see dots and connect them in ways that people haven't imagined, whether those dots are, you know, you're working on a technology project and you take something from biology and something from physics and you put it together, mm-hmm. or you find people and say, boy, if the two of you were able to connect. And that's a big part of the innovation process is making those bridges happen. Mm-hmm. And so we had a big open house in November. We're going to be doing this quarterly next year, and there's a young man named Sheldon Williamson who's got an incredible company here in town, startup business called Neolux, and they designed a line of clothing and eyeglasses that contains electroluminescence wiring.
Why?
Because the stuff looks cool.
Well, that's good enough.
And so this guy is just a ball of fire, and you know, again, one of those interesting businesses here in town that most people have never heard of. We've got another good friend who
does he have a storefront downtown?
No, he doesn't have a storefront. Okay. He's strictly manufacturing.
All right, okay.
And I happened to meet him at a makers meeting that Mayor Whaley had called last year, and this guy just you can't resist him. He's just filled with energy and hope and optimism.
Cool.
But we have got another friend who's very involved with concert promotion, and so the ability to kind of cross-pollinate the electroluminescence clothing and the concert business. And so it's sort of understanding what people do and what needs they might have, and figuring out when people get together. It's sort of I kind of think of it like an improv game. When you go to, if you've ever been to improv, and they throw an idea at you, and you got to kind of you kind of riff on that. Right. Yeah, it's like give me two concepts and let me riff on where the commonality is. And so I mean, that's you have to really be able to understand what people's needs are, or where they could go with it, to be able to put people together. And I think it's probably vastly undervalued, the importance of knowing who's doing what, and how you might be able to help them in some
way. Well, people do, you mentioned silos, but sometimes it's not that people are in silos, it's just that they have their noses down into their own trench. You know, you got to get your job done. You got deadlines. You got bosses. You got bills, and then you don't really have a chance to pop your head up and look around very much. And it sounds like you kind of help people do that a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think that's a big part of it. And you know, to some extent, we're the R&D arm for a lot of the nonprofits.
Talk about some of the ones you work with. Yeah. You work with Updating pretty heavily.
We do a lot of work with Updating, and
that's
with
the Young Professionals think tank.
Yeah. Right, that it's been around for about 5 or 6 years now. AJ Ferguson is currently the director of, and he does some work with us. But they are very involved and committed to figuring out how to engage, attract, and retain young talent here in the community.
And they do the annual Young Professionals Summit at the Art Institute. I think they're trying to like change that up a little bit this year.
I think they're changing their style, and they think they're going to try and break that up into two bigger events. One that's much more focused on just the young professionals, and then I think a few months after that, one that's more open to additional members of the community.
Mm-hmm. In other words, they don't want old farts like you and me going to the kids summit.
Right, anymore. And letting them kind of work through the projects, and then really
I don't blame them one bit.
Doing a better job of engaging, more fully engaging the rest of the folks in the community and the things that they are that they're doing. One of the big projects that we have coming online here in the next couple of months is something called the Dayton Sewing Collaborative.
You've mentioned that. Tell me about that.
And so the Sewing Collaborative is an example of where I think we have a large amount of what I call indigenous talent. There is a lot of people in the community who have sewing capabilities that were not you know, we're not tapping into, and on a number of different levels. And so the idea behind the Sewing Collaborative was, what if you could bring all these people with sewing capabilities, whether they're older folks, I think of typically older women, I hate to be sexist and make generalities, but whether east side, west side, north of town.
A lot of young women don't sew anymore.
Exactly. You know,
it's kind of a lost, home ec, becoming a lost art.
The whole home ec thing, and they learned it back in school. Right. And so it just seemed like this would be an interesting community building tool.
I recently encountered a YouTube video on how to sew on a button.
Right.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, most people, you know, you might take it to the dry cleaner, or we'll just get a new shirt now. We're so disposable.
But so back what you want to do is what?
Because I do a lot of networking, I ended up meeting a couple of women in 2014, both of whom are very passionate about sewing, one of whom has now got a full-time business, and the other has been working with refugees for the last 2.5 years, teaching them how to sew, and has placed about 125 of them with jobs in the region.
Here in town, really?
Here in town. Wow. And what most people don't realize is there are a number of fairly significant companies that hire people who know how to sew here. Right. It's, again, we like to talk about advanced materials and aviation and you know, with the automotive glass plant coming back, and we lose sight of some of these things. So we've got some really interesting companies, FJM, formerly Fred J. Miller down in Miamisburg.
They make flags, right?
They're really known as one of the four major band uniform manufacturers in the United States.
I had a friend who used to work there, yeah.
So, you know, they're out there, Honeywell Corporation, Lion Apparel, All American Clothing up in Arcanum. I mean, there are a lot of folks out there that need to hire people. So, you know, one piece of what we're looking at doing is starting to offer a training program that would get folks who are looking to upgrade their skills. Mm-hmm. It's not super high tech necessarily, but it's something that people could be doing and getting some manufacturing jobs. So one piece is a training piece. The second piece was really, which is where the concept started, was sort of a community, creative, collaborative cottage industry. And so just finding people, kind of like the old quilting bee, but if we could bring people together from diverse backgrounds who wanted to sew some things. And so I always like to use the example, let's, you know, take old pairs of jeans from Goodwill's, turn them into quilts and sell them at Third on Third.
Which is another project we're talking about in a minute, that
we're working on. But that idea of just using community collaboration.
Also tapping into the immigrant community.
The refugees. Right. So what's interesting, so whether it's, you know, like you say, immigrant community, east side, west side, south side. But then the other piece that is, you're out having these conversations, it's sort of like you'd have no reason to talk to somebody about sewing unless you were a sewer. Right. Well, now that we're out in the conversation, there are so many people we've met who have Etsy-based businesses here in the Miami Valley region that are looking for capacity. They're looking for resources. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they need a place that they can try and make some samples.
Right.
So there's, all of a sudden, that's come out of the woodwork. And then there's another organization that was started 3 years ago by a woman named Caressa Brown called the Dayton Emerging Fashion Incubator. And so,
I remember that.
And
yeah.
So there are,
is that business still going?
She's still going. And so they're part of our collaboration, but we've also been working with the YWCA, East End Community Services, and Wesley Community Center, all of whom see the need and the opportunity for their residents, whether it is a kind of social hobbyist or people who need to get trained for jobs. And so that ability to be in conversation with a lot of these different people and begin to put all those parts and pieces together, none of the organizations would be able to do this alone, but when you start adding those elements together.
Right.
And so we're currently talking with a building owner down on Springfield Street who has some space, and so hopefully we're going to have a physical location. One of the people in our collaborative group was actually given about a dozen industrial sewing machines a couple of years ago.
Oh, that's cool.
Out of a plant. So that'll allow us to get started. Dayton Metro Libraries has gotten involved with us. They're really interested on a number of different levels because of their new opportunity spaces that are going to be opening up in their
main
new locations.
Right.
And they got their first one down in Miami Township. And so the idea of putting some sewing machines in that, again, could become a feeder program into what we're doing. And so that building those networks, I've got a daughter who's 27, and when I work with students, I always tell them that you can never network too much. You can never know too many too many people. Just had a situation this week where one of the students from Blue Sky, who had gone to Stivers and had spent some time at Ringling College of Art and Design.
We should mention Blue Sky was an artist in residence program you ran about four or 5 years ago.
Yeah, that we brought here from Chicago.
That
Thanks for reminding your listeners.
That was a great program. Yeah. I loved Blue Sky. I hope you'll bring it back.
Yeah, we'd love to do that if we could find some funders to help with that.
You
know, the folks at UD were very strongly behind the program and very supportive. But so this young man came in to see me. He's again a Stivers graduate who has an incredible portfolio of illustrations. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, how do I get started making money in illustrations? Well, one of the people I met probably about 5 years ago is a gentleman by the name of Scott Hull, who lives down in Centerville.
He does commercial art.
Art for the last 35 years. He's had a business representing illustrators, and probably unknown to a lot of people here in the Miami Valley region, he represents the artist that did all the illustrations for the Harry Potter books.
Right.
And so it's gotten some nice press. So anyway, I got Alfred and Scott together, and Scott was really impressed with his portfolio of work. And but I hadn't talked to Scott in about 5 years, and he was as excited to hear from me as I was to get with him last week. And he's got some interest in re-engaging in the city and talking about how can we get more of a core of creative people together and really kind of ignite the art and creativity in the community, more out in the public. You know, how can we bring that
forefront? Scott's an interesting guy. He's got an interesting business, too. You'd mentioned, really, again, we're here with Peter Benkendorf, the founder and director of the Collaboratory, kind of an ideas and connectivity incubator in downtown Dayton that kind of works throughout the whole Miami Valley region, getting ideas going and connecting dots for people. You'd mentioned one of your projects, the Third on Third. Let's remind people of that. That's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, Third on Third was started in 2014 by a group of seven or eight of us, kind of a mix of business owners on East 3rd Street, just east of Kiwi, and some residents of the Huffman Historic District in St. Anne's Hill. And we ran the market four times from July to August in 2014, and now the market is a 7-month market. It is an eclectic outdoor market that runs from April through October, the third Sunday of the month on East 3rd Street, hence the name.
It's along the street from Kiwi up toward...
Well, it's in one location. It's primarily at the corner of 3rd and Bates. But the purpose of the... I mean, part of the reason we started 3rd on 3rd was to reignite the retail and residential redevelopment along East 3rd Street from Kiwi to the intersection at Linden and 3rd and Springfield and on into the Huffman Historic District. And so the first market we had in July of 2014, we had 28 vendors. We now typically average about 65 vendors a market.
Well, I didn't realize it was that big.
It's really grown. We had a lot of new vendors and
what kind of stuff? I mean, you mentioned
a whole mix of things.
We've
got some furniture makers, upcycled antiques and collectibles. We've got a number of people who are making food items. A lot of artists and artisans. A couple T-shirt companies local. A lot of soap manufacturers. We have a lot of people making soap.
We have a ton of people in Dayton making soap.
A lot of people making soap.
Yeah.
You know, some candles. We have two key people who are roasting coffee here, Mystic River and Twisted River and Mysterium Coffee.
I don't think I've ever heard of either one of them.
In fact, Mysterium Coffee has just opened up a store up in Trotwood and where they're roasting Joel Conover. And some produce makers, and it's not a flea market, it's not a farmer's market, it's not a arts, you know, it's not an arts art show. It truly is an eclectic market with a little bit of everything.
When does it start?
It starts April. It's the third Sunday of the month and runs for 7 months from April to October. And if you go to thirdonthirddayton.com, you can get information, and we'll be putting up application information.
Right. We've written a lot about it that at Dayton.com, our sister station, site as well.
And it's been such a positive for downtown. It's pretty close to the urban core, but you know, we get people from.
It's part of downtown that people don't really think of as downtown, though. Yeah.
And one of the other things that's come out of this is that the market has been working very closely with the folks at Front Street. And so, and Front Street's gone through some changes. They brought in a new property manager last
Front
year.
Front Street being the artist studios down past Stivers.
Exactly. And so basically Front Street's kind of a block and a half from where we have the market. Mm-hmm. And so we've been partnering with those folks. And so a lot of the artist studios are open now on the third Sunday. And mm-hmm. so you can kind of get a, you can get two, get kind of two for the price of one. Actually, there's no price, so getting two for no price of one. But the number of the artist studios open, it's really creating some good energy in that part of 3rd Street, which other than, and we're just a little bit west of where Taqueria Mixteca is.
Ooh.
So people should know where the...
We love Taqueria Mixteca. That's right, our favorite food in town.
People don't necessarily know where Front Street or Bates or Dutoit
But they know where Taqueria Mixteca is.
Exactly right. So
anybody listening who has not experienced Taqueria Mixteca, it's on 3rd, it's on East 3rd near the U-Haul, and past Kiwi there, and it is the best Mexican food you're gonna find. It's like Mexican street food. It's great. It's really a great place. And much loved and well known.
So one of the things that's been exciting about 3rd on 3rd is actually a number of businesses have really gotten their start there, really taken off as a result. I mean, Fronana, which now has a location on 1st Street, the very first activity they did was the first market, July of 2014 market.
I didn't realize that was their very first market.
Yeah. One of our furniture makers has gotten a ton of business. He's selling fairly high priced items, and so he's not necessarily there to sell, but he has his book with him, and so he did all of the furniture work that went into the Nucleus co-share space.
Oh, that's cool.
And so a lot of folks have used this as a way to start a business.
Yeah.
And again, often we're here to provide frameworks of opportunity for others and create those spaces, those connections that allow people to take advantage or leverage things that they're
kind of already want to spread out.
They're not doing.
So now a couple minutes left. So with all the different things that you're involved in, and I mean, how do people find out more about the Collaboratory? How do they reach you?
Sure. The Collaboratory, you can find us at DaytonCollaboratory.org. Like us on Facebook. We are on Twitter, but if we're posting, it's mostly on Facebook. But we're also open from 10 to 4. I mean, those are the official hours, Monday through Friday.
Okay. People can just wander in and meet
you. We have a co-working space, sort of idea exchange. It's really more of a creative exchange. But our sign says walk-ins and big ideas welcome.
It does indeed. I've seen the sign. Yes. Yeah.
And so we're looking for people. I mean, people come in all the time. The day before New Year's Eve, we had a couple walk in here. A funny story, he and his wife are now fully retired, but he was at AFRL from 2005, maybe or 2003 to 2010. And he left town, moved back to Colorado, and they decided that they were done with the Colorado lifestyle. And they've now moved back to Dayton. And he and his wife both have time on their hands, and
wandered in and became fans.
They want to come in, and now they've got some project ideas they want to do with us.
That's cool.
And so, if you're down on Courthouse Square, come on in
and
see what you've got going, see what we've got going, and maybe we can do something together.
That sounds good, Peter. Thanks for coming in.
Great,
Appreciate it.
For having me.
Oh, absolutely. We'll get you in again sometime soon to talk about some other projects. This has been Miami Valley Voices. I'm Ron Rollins. We were here with Peter Benkendorf, who's the founder and director of the Collaboratory in downtown Dayton. And as he said, if you're at Courthouse Square in downtown Dayton, wander in, pay a visit, see what they're working on. Thanks again for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sure.